Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
A quick warning before we jump in today, stranger. This episode deals with children and suicide. Please take caution. When you think of a 13-year-old girl, what do you think of? Billie Eilish or Sabrina Carpenter lyrics? Beauty products from Sephora? Bat mitzvahs, birthdays, soccer games, swim meets, TikTok dance trends, crushes, homework, junk food, braces? What about crushing depression? What about self-loathing? What about bullying? What about suicide? Welcome to Strange and Unexplained with me, Daisy Egan. As the parent of an 11-year-old, few things are more terrifying than the dangers of the gauntlet known as middle school. Except, of course, for the untimely loss of a child. I recently told my son there's a reason there are myriad books, movies, and stories dedicated to the timeless trope that is, middle school sucks. It's because it does. Full stop. God has blessed the teachers who choose this awkward, ungainly, hormonal band of beautiful weirdos. There's a special place in heaven for middle school teachers. You couldn't pay me to go back to that time. And we sure barely pay teachers to. I remember middle school with its weird pubescent energies and kids who seemed so tiny and so young going to class alongside kids that seemed scarily close to being adults with mustaches and adult bra sizes. My boyfriend, Sean, who started calling me dyke behind my back when I cut my hair, and who is now the gayest man you could ever fathom existing. My group of friends unceremoniously dumping me without warning. My only respite came when I could go home and the awfulness stopped. I have said before many times, I don't think I would have survived middle school and high school with a cell phone or social media. Once I was away from school, I could pretend it just didn't exist. But now, unless you strip your kids of all their devices, which you can't very well do, the dynamics of school don't stop once kids get home. They continue to play out on Snapchat and Instagram and TikTok and all the other toxic cesspools available to everyone at the push of a button. And as cruel as kids can be in person, take away the living, breathing human being standing in front of them, and kids can be absolute monsters. I say kids as though adults aren't equally guilty of disgusting behavior online. I have learned to not engage with trolls because I know it won't get any of us anywhere. But I have been known to slip up and say things online I came to regret. I called out a parent, without naming names, because her kid was bullying mine, and I got in big trouble for it. But compared to how the people in today's story have behaved, my post was pretty Pollyanna. Still, it was a lapse in judgment and out of character. Not that I'm Susie Sunshine online, far from it, but I don't tend to go after everyday individuals or get into the comments section. Teachers can sometimes come across as apathetic when it comes to the social-emotional goings-on of their charges, but they are underpaid to teach academics. Managing their students' social lives is not their job, and when kids get into it with each other, it makes sense that the general response is, work it out between you. But when idle gossip or mean name-calling become a real threat, things need to change. Middle school is the time when kids band together in cliques for protection and social insulation. In elementary school, kids all know each other and play together. If there are bullies, they are easy to pick out, and the threat of teachers or parents knowing the truth is often deterrent enough for hurtful behavior to stop. Except in my case, where the teachers all seemed to think I was just being too sensitive until a kid choked me until I almost passed out. But middle school is a whole different Darwinian experiment where the stew of burgeoning adulthood and social expectation mixed with hormones, early teenage rebellion, and now social media come together to create a potentially noxious and even dangerous culture. That is the culture Aubrey Wyatt found herself in. And that toxicity played out in ugly ways on the dual playing fields of a public middle school and the deep space of the internet. Aubrey Paige Wyatt seemed like an average eighth grader until she had something that no average eighth grader has, an obituary. Aubrey was just 13 years old when she took her own life in her Ocean Springs, Mississippi home on September 4th, 2023. She had been in eighth grade for 1 month. How could this happen? What would lead a seemingly popular, smart, brand new teenager with a mother, brother, and sister who loved her to end her life? Aubrey's mother, Heather Wyatt, would say that Aubrey didn't come to that decision alone, but rather that she was helped along that road by a small group of bullies who had targeted her for years. Aubrey, Heather Wyatt says, had been bullied since fifth grade. Heather believes a group of four girls and one boy contributed, tragically, to the state of mind that led her daughter to suicide. I'm not going to offer any details about Aubrey's death because it's not relevant and I'm not in the habit of belaboring gruesome details. It doesn't matter the manner, just the apparent cause. In the aftermath of Aubrey's death, her mother Heather, an elementary school teacher and sometimes social media content creator, took her grief to TikTok. Heather had a modest following on TikTok before Aubrey's death, where she posted videos about her kids and her hashtag mom life. It wasn't too much of a stretch then to begin sharing thoughts and feelings about what had happened on her TikTok account using the hashtag LLAW, Live Like Aubrey Wyatt, to commemorate her daughter. Much of what Heather posted on social media after Aubrey's death was like a video grief journal. Heather seemed to use the platform to talk out aspects of her daughter's life and death that she was struggling with, to talk about suicide, to speak out against bullying, and to demand accountability from the kids she believed harmed her daughter. An article written by Anita Lee in the Biloxi Sun-Herald quoted one of Heather's social media posts, quote, "Aubrey would be friends with them for a week, then they would fight for a week. It was just this big social isolation. Aubrey was way too forgiving," end quote. The article goes on to say, quote, "In the video, Wyatt also showed a screenshot that her daughter Taylor received after Aubrey's death. Wyatt said the bullies were sending the screenshot around. It showed a bloody doll with a noose around its neck," end quote. In a video posted in February of 2024, Heather expressed her frustration at the Ocean Springs Police Department and Jackson County Youth Court. She was upset that a legal case against Aubrey's bullies would not be pursued. In spite of Heather's reports of the abusive interactions between the group of students and Aubrey, the case against the students was quickly closed. But there was no closure for Heather, who felt she had no recourse to gain accountability or justice in the death of her daughter. Maybe this is what prompted her to publicly share details from her daughter's social media accounts on her own growing social media platform. Maybe TikTok seemed like the only court in which Heather's claims about what led to Aubrey's death would be heard. She shared a picture of Aubrey from the seventh grade where Aubrey's cheek appears red from a supposed assault by one of the girls Heather alleges bullied her daughter. There was also a screenshot of a Snapchat conversation where a girl states, quote, "I really didn't mean to hurt you, I'm sorry," in reference to hitting Aubrey. Aubrey replied in the thread with her own apology for getting the girl in trouble. Honestly, social interactions in real life are hard enough, but apologizing via text or DM is not something I will ever really understand. These kinds of conversations are nuanced and can't really be conveyed properly in text. Add to that the already awkward nature of kids at this age and their inability to communicate properly. I don't know what happened to cause the bruise on Aubrey's cheek or the Snapchatted apology. But apologizing to the person who apologized for injuring you speaks to a pretty unhealthy dynamic. Aubrey followed up this exchange with, quote, "Also, could you please stop talking about me to people? I'm over it," end quote. Heather was not content to just release viral TikToks to corroborate her story about the bullying. She also sought legal help from a Gulfport law firm, Davis & Crump, to investigate the culture of bullying at Ocean Springs Middle School. Heather's attorney at the law firm said in the Sun-Herald article, quote, "One group of students, led by girls, started bullying her when she was in fifth grade at Ocean Springs Upper Elementary School," end quote, and that they, quote, "targeted Aubrey at school, at social events, and on social media apps such as Snapchat. She was called hateful, untrue names," end quote. He went on to say that Heather Wyatt complained to school authorities and to parents of the bullies. She certainly was not a passive observer. She tried everything she could think of, she said, to get it to stop. But it didn't stop. Apparently, no one at Ocean View did anything to intervene, and things got worse until Aubrey made it stop in the most permanent way possible. And that's where this awful story might end, had it not been for the adults who seemed to pick up the torch and perpetuate the bad behavior that Heather says led to her daughter's untimely death.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Forty-2% of 13 to 14-year-old students have experienced cyberbullying, and 49% of female students have been cyberbullied, compared with 43% of male students. With a problem this widespread, who is to blame? There are the perpetrators, the bullies themselves, but then there is the platform. Maybe it seems rash to hold a blind, deaf, and mute internet presence responsible. Maybe you would argue, stranger, that you can't blame the public square for the drama that unfolds there. But if someone is standing in the public square screaming insults into someone else's faces, someone is generally going to do something about it. Unless, it seems, if you are an onlooker on a New York City subway platform where a woman is lit on fire and you just stand there and film it instead of doing literally anything to help her. On the internet, though, there is no someone, and most of the time, if someone does try to step in to de-escalate, the whole thing gets worse. For reference, see the comment section of a recipe for an ice cream cake in which an innocent question about the recipe devolved into people calling each other Nazis. But when we look at the statistics, they overwhelmingly suggest that there is something about social media platforms and the vast internet in general that creates space for toxic behavior. Statistics website dataprot.com tells us that, quote, 90% of teens in the U.S. believe cyber harassment is a problem. Students are almost twice as likely to attempt suicide if they have been cyberbullied. 80% of teens say that others cyberbully because they think it is funny. 37% of bullying victims develop social anxiety. 59% of U.S. teenagers have experienced bullying or harassment online. Statistics on cyberbullying reveal almost complete online interactivity among young people, especially teenagers. Almost all of them, 95%, are now online, and most use the internet on a daily basis for school, video games, social media, and video streaming. There are more opportunities to harass someone in cyberspace, and the anonymity of the internet makes it easier to get away with bullying. End quote. Excuse me. I just had to take a second to pry Monty's iPad from his hands. Look, obviously not everything about being online is bad. I know of a great podcast that is available on the internet, for example. Being online isn't in itself the problem. The problem is that all the stuff I mentioned earlier about middle school and the potentially toxic soup of confused self-image, peer-to-peer cruelty, othering, etc. is amplified on the internet. A person interacting with others in cyberspace is much easier to dehumanize than a person who is sitting right next to you. And that person is much more likely to feel isolated and alone in that same cyberspace than they would if they were in a room with actual humans. The thing is, social media platforms know this. The algorithms and marketing software these companies use exploit those very conditions to sell products to users, especially to preteen girls who are digitally savvy and have become a major consumer group. So these platforms are definitely not deaf, mute, and blind. Unfortunately, as all of this exposure to a vast array of potentially harmful imagery is taking place, and as the lure to keep kids communicating with each other online through social media platforms and gaming grows, there are few safety measures in place that can really help young people navigate this online world critically and keep them from falling prey to their own basest impulses. There is no playground monitor, teacher, principal, parent, youth leader, older sibling, or mentor on social media watching how these kids behave toward each other. It is a virtual Lord of the Flies situation. It's a pubescent Wild West with shopping and sound bites and memes. It was this that Heather's attorney, Trevor Rockstad, had in mind when he, on behalf of his client, filed a lawsuit in March against various social media companies. Rockstad claimed that Aubrey was addicted to social media and that all the while she was being bullied, she was receiving incessant notifications night and day and was unable to escape the trauma she was experiencing. The Sun-Herald article quotes the law firm's statement, quote, "The plague of bullying and cyberbullying is a very real and present threat to our society, especially to our children and youth. If the perpetrators of this type of senseless and horrific behavior are not held accountable, this plague will continue to devastate our children. Parents, teachers, and school systems must be vigilant in preventing bullying. If they are not, they must be held accountable. Similarly, children must be taught that bullying hurts, traumatizes, and sometimes even kills its victims. If we do not address this problem now, we risk the safety of all of our children." End quote. Following the filing, Aubrey's middle school became the site of more controversy when 8 students staged a walkout in protest of a student allegedly being suspended for online activity relating to Aubrey. The post that supposedly led to the student's suspension was a brief Facebook missive that said, quote, "Those who bullied Aubrey would one day get a taste of their own medicine," end quote. Heather responded on TikTok, telling her followers that it was unfair that this student was being punished with suspension when none of Aubrey's alleged bullies ever faced any consequences from the school. The Sun-Herald said of the walkout, quote, "Several students at the protest said that they also had been bullied, one to the point of attempted suicide in 6th grade. School Superintendent Mike Lindsay said procedures are in place to deal with bullying, and the school system is unable to share information about specific students being disciplined. Lindsay also said the school system has plans for anti-bullying education for the coming school year," end quote. It would seem that the culture of bullying Heather was pointing to certainly existed for a segment of the Ocean View Middle School population. The virtual version of the Sun-Herald article even includes an interview with a much older student, Vanessa Owens, who tearfully describes the bullying she endured in the Ocean View Public Schools. In this interview, Owens says she eventually transferred to a new school because the administration did nothing to stop what was happening to her. It does make a person wonder what the anti-bullying curriculum looks like in a place where students say bullying has been happening for decades with no response. On the other hand, one might argue that the school had to start somewhere in regards to punishing cyberbullying. And though they were clearly very late to the game, suspending the child for making threats online might have been that somewhere. When Heather posted on TikTok about what had happened to Aubrey, she never publicly disclosed the names of the kids who bullied her. But, stranger, the internet is a wild place. It should surprise no one that some of the more zealous followers of Heather's account put two and two together and identified the kids involved. How or why are not questions I can answer. Some people need to find a hobby.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Things spun out from there. According to an article in the Vicksburg Press by Don Hill from July, quote, as Heather's following grew, numerous accounts began sharing the mother's story, often taking Heather's words as irrefutable fact, immune to the nuance that often surrounds such tragedy. The other accounts began to include the names of the accused bullies, all minors. A fundraising group even began collecting money using her daughter's name, unbeknownst to Heather, end quote. So, Heather's posts were no longer a public grief journal. They had become galvanizing. They had become fodder for people far outside her world with agendas that diverged from her own. They had become viral with all that entails. Heather's social media presence was no longer entirely in her control. The Vicksburg News article points at another pivotal moment in the public response to the story of Aubrey Wyatt. Quote, a TikTok of Heather's went viral earlier this month of her going through some of Aubrey's things on camera. The family was preparing for a move, and in a pile of her daughter's things were notes addressed to each member of her family and one to everyone, all signed Aubs. It was Aubrey's final message to her family and the world. For many, the viral TikTok and the hashtag Justice for Aubrey was the first time hearing about Aubrey's tragic death. Aubrey's alleged bullies' pictures began to spread online, demanding the children feel shame for what they had done, some going as far as publicly listing the address of one of the girls. In addition to the alleged bullies being outed, their parents, along with their places of work, were also revealed, with some demanding their resignation, end quote. All of this public hashing out of the events that led up to Aubrey's death and the subsequent online harassment did not sit well with mothers of the kids Heather had implicated, even though Heather had never named them outright. In April, the parents of the four girls decided to file a suit against Heather, claiming defamation and slander. Inevitably, some details of the suit leaked out on social media. Quote, the lawsuit filed by attorneys Patrick Guild and Tim Holloman on behalf of the girls' parents accuses Wyatt of maliciously committing slander, defamation, and negligence. The parents argue that Aubrey's death was caused by other factors and that she, quote, had previously attempted suicide and did not receive the proper medical attention, as stated in the complaint, according to the U.S. Sun, end quote. The attorneys for the parents cast Heather as a malicious actor and implied that Aubrey was unstable and that her mental illness was mishandled by her mother. On July 3rd, a second lawsuit was filed by the parents accusing Heather of slandering their children and stating that their children had been doxxed, exposing them to threats and harassment. The parents were seeking damages for emotional distress, compensation for medical bills resulting in alleged bullying toward their daughters due to Heather's social media posts, as well as punitive damages and attorney's fees. In a July 10th article in Newsweek, the complaint against Heather is described, quote, as a direct and proximate cause of the false, defamatory, and slanderous social media posts of the defendant Heather Wyatt, the plaintiff's minor children have been receiving insulting and revolting messages from around the world attacking them, calling them vulgar names, sexualizing them. These young ladies were in eighth grade, end quote. Heather's TikTok posts about Aubrey clearly had a profound emotional effect on the people out there invested in Aubrey and Heather's story. And the internet proved once again that people are just unhinged when it comes to matters of emotion. It should go without saying, but it's not cool to dox anyone, but most especially some 13-year-old kids, no matter how sad you are for your internet friend's family trauma. What is also not cool is suggesting to a grieving mother that the heartbreaking death of her child is somehow her fault. It's shocking how quickly people will abandon their empathy when they feel attacked. On July 1st, Jackson County Judge Mark Maples responded to the injunction brought against Heather by the 8th grade moms and issued a legal notice instructing Heather to cease further posts and to temporarily deactivate her social media accounts to protect the minors involved. Other online creators and Heather's dedicated following were watching the case closely and responded with outrage. The resounding cry was that the ruling was a violation of Heather's First Amendment rights. The suit was dropped voluntarily on July 15th. Maybe the parents caught a conscience and decided Heather had suffered enough, what with her child's death and all. Maybe their lawyers told them they would never win. Either way, thank goodness cooler heads prevailed and everyone chilled the fuck out and stopped acting like animals online. Oh, except they totally didn't. Perhaps feeling vindicated in their perceived win for Heather and her so-called First Amendment rights, the mob then turned on Jackson County District Attorney Angel Myers. Rumors about the DA circulated, suggesting she wouldn't prosecute the case because she was related to one of the parents named in the suit. DA Myers released a statement via Facebook in response. Quote, "For over a week, I have been bombarded with harassing messages intending to intimidate me. These messages are rooted in misinformation being shared and spread on various social media platforms related to what is perceived to be my office's role in the investigation of the death by suicide of an Ocean Springs teenager. First and foremost, I will not be intimidated. I have been a prosecutor for nearly 20 years. Day in and day out, I have fought to administer justice fairly and evenly without concern for politics, outside influence, or pressure. My career speaks for itself. Second, there have been false statements furthered on social media that I am a family member of a party to the litigation surrounding the teen's suicide. That is simply untrue. While I know one of the parties through my daughter's dance team and my former church, this has absolutely no impact on my impartiality or my ability to do my job. My daughter passed away over 7 years ago, and I have not attended my former church since 2020. I am fiercely committed to the integrity of the office of the district attorney. I know and understand my ethical obligations and will not compromise my reputation or career in this or any other manner. Third, my office is not an investigative agency. I am charged with prosecuting felony crimes committed by adults within my district. With respect to crimes committed by juveniles, my jurisdiction is limited to crimes that carry a potential life sentence, crimes which are committed using a deadly weapon, or crimes committed by juveniles who have been certified to the circuit court for prosecution as adults by the youth court. None of those situations apply to the allegations of this matter, and my office, therefore, has no jurisdiction. While the ability to communicate using social media certainly has value, I would caution everyone on those platforms to not blindly follow and believe information provided by individuals who are driven by clicks and money. Our society devours drama, and in the process, sometimes people's lives, livelihood, safety, and security are devoured along with it." End quote. Once the suits were dropped, according to the Sun-Herald on July 18th, quote, "Chancery Court Judge Mark Maples on Thursday afternoon reinstated the social media accounts of Heather Wyatt, who believes her 13-year-old daughter Aubrey Wyatt was bullied into suicide. During a hearing, Maples also requested that Child Protective Services investigate the safety of all minor children involved, including Wyatt's daughter and son, and the four girls accused of bullying Aubrey. The results are to be turned over to the Jackson County Youth Court's intake unit." End quote. It would seem, at this point, that matters would be resolved, legally, anyway. But the dark turns of the story were not done yet.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
On July 19th, a random 38-year-old dude named Jeffrey Scott Miles was arrested for retaliation against a public servant. Miles left threatening phone messages for Judge Mark Maples saying he would harm the judge if he didn't issue a favorable ruling in Heather Wyatt's case. The Sun-Herald reported in September that Miles, quote, pleaded guilty on Tuesday to leaving a terroristic phone message for a Jackson County Chancery Court judge who ruled in a controversial hearing last month. Jeffrey Scott Miles, 38, will spend 10 years on post-release supervision after he pleaded guilty to making terroristic threats and retaliation against a public servant, end quote. People, strangers, friends, vigilantism doesn't work. Whatever you think you're doing, whoever you think you're helping, you're only making things worse for them, for you, for everyone. Again, it shouldn't need to be said, but making threats against a judge is never going to get you anywhere good. I can't imagine threats of violence would help Heather Wyatt or her children to move on from their pain. And it certainly isn't doing the threatener any favors. Jeez. Looking back on everything that has happened, Aubrey's story becomes a cautionary tale on so many fronts. It is the story of a scared, lonely, sad, isolated girl. It is the story of how social media can remove us from our most human impulses. It is a story of loss and pain and the deep spiral of harm small unkindnesses can give way to. And it is certainly the story of the digital world as a potentially dangerous playing field of disembodied anger, cruelty, and blame. And the most poignant expression of this extended cautionary tale is Aubrey's obituary, which could read like a yearbook entry, but for the fact that every detail about Aubrey is written in the past tense. Quote, Aubrey Page Wyatt, 13, of Ocean Springs, Mississippi, passed away on Monday, September 4th, 2023, in Ocean Springs. Aubrey was born in Ocean Springs on March 17th, 2010. She was an eighth grade student at Ocean Springs Middle School and an active member in youth at St. Paul UMC. Aubrey was a straight A student, an amazing daughter, sister, and friend. She loved the beach, her friends, gymnastics, riding four wheelers, and making TikToks. Aubrey was well known and loved in the community, especially for her outgoing and bubbly personality. Aubrey's survivors include her mother, Heather Wyatt, her sister, Taylor Wyatt, her brother, Riker Woods, her grandfather, Kerry Wyatt, her beloved cat, Zeus, and numerous family members and friends. End quote. I'll leave you with this. Bullying sucks. Don't do it. And I can hear some of you saying that I bully people on this show. But saying snarky things about adult people who have behaved poorly is different than berating someone on social media. It is a rare day that you will see me engaging with a troll. When I do, you can bet I am having a particularly bad day and could use a break from social media. And I get more than my fair share of hateful comments. Why, just recently, a listener left this comment on Spotify. Awful. The host talks too much. Did I initially want to respond with something like, what the f*** else do you expect me to do during a show in which all I do is talk? You stupid f***. Asshole, who the f*** asked you? What f***ing rock did you f***ing out from under. You even have a so you shouldn't even have a Spotify account, you f***ing But did I? No, I didn't. I actually took the commenter's words to heart and in this case said nothing at all. And you know what? I bet he's hitting refresh waiting to see my response. And that, after all, is the best revenge I can ask for. But seriously, this isn't about me. I can largely handle the trolls, but as I said, I don't think I would have been able to at Aubrey's age. Plus, not to victim blame myself here, but I do invite hateful comments, what with my woke mindset and all. Nothing seems to get people more riled up these days than empathy. It's hard to not want to point fingers when something like what happened with Aubrey happens. We want to find a culprit to pin it on, or we try to blame it on some kind of cultural or societal erosion. Kids these days. But kids have always been kids these days. Bullying seems to be some kind of timeless rite of passage. I'm not saying it's okay or that we should give bullies a pass. I'm just saying it's as old as humanity. What is new is the online space where, disconnected from actual human beings, we can let out the worst of ourselves onto each other without feeling the consequences or fallout from it. We as parents or loved ones or teachers of kids need to impress upon them how hurtful bullying can be. But then we have to live our lessons and stop screaming at each other online. When you feel the impulse to slide into the comment section with your anger, how about just don't? The world will continue to spin. Nothing will change, I promise. In 10 minutes, you'll have moved on to something else to be mad about. And this is for any young person listening. First off, your parent is really awesome for letting you listen to this show. Thank them for me and tell them they're Sigma or they have Riz or whatever nonsense you kids are saying these days. Secondly, I want to say this. I have been on both ends of bullying. Mostly, I was bullied. But I'm really ashamed to admit I also bullied. Mostly it was in the form of gossip or shit-talking behind someone's back. Because I'm a coward. If I could go back and change it, well, I wouldn't, only because there's nothing anyone could do to get me to go back to that period in my life. But I wish I could change it. I know how hard peer pressure is, and especially if you're someone who feels targeted, it's appealing to be able to turn around and dump on someone else. But I beg you to resist the temptation. There is nothing to be gained from it. Nothing. If your buddy is ragging on someone else, please, please, please use all your might not to join in. As I tell my son every day, everyone is going through their own shit and you have no idea what their shit is. If you could go to bed each night knowing that you made each person you interacted with at least 1% happier, wouldn't that make you happier? It doesn't take much to make people feel a little better. Just like it takes fewer muscles to smile than it does to frown, making someone feel nice is so much easier than making them feel bad. All it takes is a hi or a smile. But imagine you joined in on your buddy ragging on someone, and that person went to bed that night wanting to die because of it. Do you want to be a part of them feeling that way? I doubt it. You have my permission to tell your buddy they're being a dick. It's not bullying when you tell your friend they're being a dick for bullying. Just make sure you tell them later you appreciate them. Hug your loved ones, strangers, and be kind to each other. If you or someone you know is considering suicide, please contact the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline by dialing 988. Or you can text STRENGTH to the crisis text line at 741741. Or go to 988lifeline.org. Stay safe. Next time on Strange and Unexplained, we'll head into the forests of Pennsylvania to meet the saddest cryptid around. The Squonk. Strange and Unexplained is a production of Three Goose Entertainment with help from Grab Bag Collab. This episode was written by Eve Kerrigan and me, Daisy Egan, with research by the Strange Research Squad. Sound design and engineering by Jeff Devine. Music by Epidemic and Blue Dot Sessions. If you have an idea for an episode, head to our website, strangeandunexplainedpod.com, and fill out the contact form. I will write back. For more amazing content, join us at patreon.com/grabbagcollab, where for just $5 a month, you get all the Grab Bag exclusive shows, and for $8, you get those, plus Amber Hunt's Crimes of the Centuries and Strange and Unexplained early and ad-free. Grab Bag is an all-female and non-binary-owned profit-share network where our contributors get to keep ownership of their shows. We strive to give a platform to those who might not be able to land themselves on a bigger network. Who knows? Maybe you have a podcast idea you'd like to pitch to Grab Bag. We've got live recordings, watch parties, book clubs, and more. Why there's so much going on over at Grab Bag, you'll wonder if we missed the memo on how capitalism works. Join me on Instagram at SNUPod, Daisy Egan, and Grab Bag Collab. Or head to the Facebook page to join in the conversation. If you like the show, please visit a sponsor with our unique code, give us a quick review and 5 stars, subscribe and download, and tell a friend. Stay strange.